This morning, as we studied from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, we learned that Christ died for us so that we could live for Him and not live for ourselves. In that same chapter, a few verses down, we find another familiar statement that we didn't read this morning, and that's the one that says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, all things are become new." You know, as new creatures in Christ, all of us from time to time will be struggling with the dilemma that is represented there on the screen. It doesn't really matter how long you have been a Christian. It doesn't matter how much you've studied or how well versed you are in Scripture. There will always come times when you have to give some careful, serious deliberation to decide what is the right thing to do. It has often been said that the devil doesn't really care how strong you are or how long you've been a Christian. He's still going to tempt you anyway. He doesn't stay away from you if you've studied a lot. He doesn't stay away from you if you've spent a long time in serving God. In fact, probably in some ways of reasoning, it might be that he pays closer attention to you, trying to get you to turn from the right way. Every single one of us has to deal with the questions: is this right? Is this wrong? Is this something I should do? Is it something that I shouldn't do? You know, I'm reminded of the fact that even the Apostle Paul struggled with this issue and issues just like that. And he explained a little bit of that in Romans chapter 7, though that's not the singular point of this passage. He's in a discussion of comparing the law of Moses and the law of Christ. But he illustrates it like this, and I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 18 of Romans chapter 7. "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." As I said, there's more to this context than just the questions of right and wrong, but there in that passage, Paul illustrates a singular point that applies to our study here. There will always be times when we have to deliberate and decide what to do. How well are we prepared to make the right decisions? This evening, I've got five things that I want to share with you. We've picked out some songs. We've made a careful selection of some songs that will hopefully illustrate each one of these five points. I'm going to call them five tests. Five tests that everything questionable needs to be subjected to. In other words, on those occasions when we're deliberating and trying to figure out the best thing to do, let's ask ourselves these things. Number one, will it pass the proclamation test? In other words, has God clearly proclaimed in His Word that this is something that I should not do? Obviously, we're starting with the easiest one first. It's a rather simple matter to look in the Scriptures and to see if some particular thing might be the kind of thing that God doesn't want me to do. There are two problems with that. As simple as that is, some potential difficulties. Potential difficulty number one: many folks don't know enough about what the Bible says to be able to answer that question. A lot of folks are not familiar enough with what God's Word teaches to be able to determine whether or not something or some action is forbidden. Potential difficulty number two, a lot of people, even believers, approach God's Word in the what I call the cafeteria style. In other words, looking through and finding just the things that are pleasing or the things that are comforting or the things that will reinforce what I want to think and what I want to believe and staying away from those things that might be a little difficult, that might put me to a test, that might put me in an uncomfortable situation when it comes to what those around me might be thinking and the crowd that I run with. And so the proclamation test is a very important test that we need to subject everything to. Is this something that God's Word forbids me to do? This song is one that I think perfectly illustrates that point.
What are you doing? What I did to call in the name of the Lord, to God in name of man of faith, to call in the name of the Lord, to all.
Principle test. Does biblical principle forbid this particular behavior? Is this the kind of thing that would violate the principles that are taught in Scripture? Obviously, we've gotten past the proclamation test. This is not something, maybe, whatever this action may be, this is not something that God has said, thou shalt not do so and so. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, does this violate biblical principle? Now, there are a lot of things that fall into that category, and I can think of a whole host of things that we say that we should not do, things that are wrong for us to do, and yet they are not things that the Bible has said clearly and simply, thou shalt not bet on greyhound racing dogs. In fact, I'm not even aware of a scripture in the Bible that says, thou shalt not gamble. I don't think it even says gambling is wrong. But we know that gambling is wrong, because gambling violates a number of biblical principles that govern our attitudes and our behavior. Principles that start in the realm of simplicity. And some of them go on into some even complicated things. He that will not work, neither let him eat. Covetousness, which is idolatry. The idea of something for nothing. The Old Testament talks about ill-gotten gain. The fact that in gambling, if you're a winner, you're hoping that everybody else will lose, because that means you win more. Someone has said that the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to love people and use things. Gamblers love things and use people. Now, gambling is just one of the many things that is condemned in principle in the Scriptures. And so when we're looking at something and someone wants us to do something, or we have an opportunity to get involved in something, and we say, well, you know, I don't know. I don't remember ever reading that word in the Bible. We need to ask ourselves, does this violate biblical principle? There are a tremendous number of principles set forth in Scripture, as I said, that govern our attitudes and our behavior. And many of the things that people do involve a number of those principled things. Give careful consideration to the principles that are set forth in Scripture.
All these words, love preserved. For our love in this world, they resound with God's heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us go in this world where very wrong ancient words will guide.
The partnership test. Could I invite Jesus to do this with me? Would he be a good partner in this? Or would that thought alone let me know that this is not something that I need to be engaged in. Do you ever try to keep secrets from the Lord? Well, obviously it doesn't work, does it? If you've tried that on your own, you know that it doesn't work. But you know, you don't even have to do that in order to know for sure that it doesn't work. All you got to do is read the Scriptures. And, well, you can start out with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were in this blissful existence, and some have suggested that they were blissfully ignorant of how foolish they had been because they seemed to have had the idea that maybe they could hide from God. But it didn't work, did it? And on down through the pages of Scripture, in fact, in some obscure ways and some very well-known ways, God again and again reinforces the fact that there is no hiding from Him. There are no secrets. Jonah comes to mind as one who thought he could do something that would escape God's notice. The partnership test is a very important test because in itself, it reminds us again of the fact, in a little different way, that we're living for Jesus. We're not living for ourselves. And so if any contemplated action or activity or behavior is that which would get in the way of living for Jesus, then we need to let it go.
Savior, take me, take my name, Lord, sweet lesson to obey, sweeter lesson cannot be, loving Him who first loved thee.
Test. Would I be ashamed if the Lord suddenly walked up and found me doing this thing? There is a passage in 1 John chapter 2 that is worthy of a notation in your Bible if you're the type who, like me, likes to write in your Bible. That's one of those irresistible things that's been with me since I was a little child. I have written in a lot of Bibles, started out with crayons. But now there's benefit in it, I think. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. Now I want to ask you a question, and it's a question that sounds like it may need to be directed to the children. But it's not. It's a grown-up question. Have you ever been caught doing something that you knew you shouldn't have done? Now, of course, all of us as children would have had to have answered yes, but I mean as grown-ups. I'm afraid far too many big people have probably had that feeling that comes along when somebody walks in on you or sees you or discovers you're doing something that you really knew you shouldn't have done. Boy, that's a sick feeling, isn't it? That's just that feeling down in the pit of your stomach that, and you say, I knew that I shouldn't have done that. That's a good question to ask ourselves about any particular thing. Is this something that I can do without worrying about whether or not the Lord will come and find me doing this thing? This next song has a phrase in it that ties in so well with this point.
Jesus, and shall it ever be a Lord of man, ashamed of thee, ashamed of thee, who made face, whose glory shine through endless days. And oh, may this my glory be, my glory be, my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me, is not.
Here's the last one, the peace test. By peace, I mean peace of mind. Are you confident that it's okay? Are you sure This is something that you as a Christian should do. It comes as a surprise to some folks that God wants us to be sure that what we're doing is right. There's a very interesting discussion in the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. And at the end of that discussion, the Apostle Paul says, and of course the discussion has to do with whether or not a person can do something, and the specific thing that's under discussion is the eating of meats. Whether a person can do that and be right, or whether a person shouldn't do that. And of course, it all has to be understood with the background of that day, and of course the number of people that had been converted from heathen idolatry, where a lot of animal sacrifices were offered to idols, and then the leftovers were taken to the marketplace and sold, and everybody would eat meat. And some people were so conscientious about it, and without being able to know whether this meat had been part of a sacrifice to a heathen god, some people were just giving up eating meat. It was in this same connection that Paul would say, again, in another place, if eating meat causes my brother to stumble, then I won't eat any more meat. But here he concludes this discussion in verse 23 by saying, but whoever has doubt is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatsoever does not proceed from faith is sin. Now, as I said, that's a point in Scripture that some people are just totally floored by. You mean if something is okay to do, but I've got some questions in my mind as to whether it's right or not, because I haven't been properly trained, or because I don't know as much as someone else, and I've got questions about that very legitimate thing, and I've got some reservations as to whether it's right or not, and I go ahead and do it, and that right thing that I have done becomes wrong to me because I don't do it in full assurance that it's right? Exactly. Why? Well, you know, I believe faith is such an important thing to God. Faith in our conduct, our lives, the faith that we have in God's will and His instructions and the clarity of truth. That if we do something that may even be okay, but we think it might not be right, but we do it anyway, it's as though we've done something wrong. That's really worthy of some thought. Because if this action, this deed, this behavior, whatever it is, that we engage in, we've got some lingering questions as to whether or not we should really do it or not. Let it go. Don't do it. For that which does not proceed from faith is sin. Obviously, our faith needs to grow. And our faith grows as it feeds upon the instruction of God's Word. But there is nothing that can take the place of the peace of mind that comes as a byproduct of the combination of God's will and our obedience.
There comes to my heart one sweet spring, a glad and a joyous refrain. I sing it again and again, sweet peace, the
The five tests that we should subject every possible thing to in order to try to determine if they're right or wrong. The proclamation test, the principle test, partnership test, the presence test, the peace test. Again, as we studied this morning, our lives are to be lived not for ourselves, but for Christ, who died for us. Are you living that way? If you're not a child of God, there never will be a better time to obey the gospel than right now. If you're not in covenant relationship with God, but have become unfaithful to Him after having become His child, then you need to straighten that out as quickly as possible, and now is a great time to accomplish that. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.